If your son were holding a gun to his head, you'd want to get it as far away from him as possible. If your daughter put an IV in her arm so as to get a steady dose of a fun but very dangerous drug, you'd pull it out and try to help her get stable again. You'd have to if you wanted to save their lives. Well, most families probably don't have to deal with guns or drugs on a regular basis. But we do have to contend with other toxins our kids may consider fun but are actually changing the chemical makeup of the brain. There's a special event coming up that can help you fight back, and we'll tell you about it today on License to Parent. That event, Raising Healthy Kids in the Digital Age, is coming up very soon, Saturday, March 21st at 5 p.m. at Toccoa Falls College, located in Toccoa, Georgia. Now, you can find all the ticket information on our website at licensedtoparent.org, licensedtoparent.org. Now, we have the pleasure of having two of the featured speakers from that event in the studio with us today. Syndicated columnist and author and parenting expert John Roseman joins us. And the other featured speaker is the host of this program and the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, Mr. Trace Embry. Trace?
John, welcome to the License to Parent broadcast.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
And listen, I'm proud to be sharing the stage with you and Alex McFarland this March 21st at 7 p.m. on the campus at Toccoa Falls College. We're going to be talking about raising healthy kids in the digital age. Now, whether parents are Christ followers or not, why will this event be crucial for any parent raising kids from infancy to teenage?
Well, I would hope that by coming to this event that parents would leave with a clearer understanding of what their responsibilities are and what their priorities ought to be, and a clearer understanding of some, and especially this because of the title, of some of the influences in contemporary society that can make their job a lot more difficult, and the things that they can do with regards to those influences that can make their job a lot easier.
Sure. What do you think pastors, youth workers, counselors, teachers, coaches, and other mentor types can expect to glean from this night that'll help them in their respective roles working with kids and parents?
Well, I think pretty much the same thing. I regard parenting as, you know, just the mentoring of children, the discipling of children. Mm-hmm. And anyone who is a child discipler, a pastor, a youth pastor, a coach, a parent, a nanny, I would hope that all those people could benefit in pretty much the same ways. A better understanding of how to approach the responsibility that we have to impart to children a proper worldview.
Mm-hmm. And we'll even throw babysitters in that group. How about that?
I was going to say babysitters, and I thought, no, that's too pedestrian. I'll say nannies instead.
You know? No, but, au pairs.
Au pairs. Oh, that's even more sophisticated. Yeah.
Now, we often call today's culture, largely because of the proliferation of digital technology, we call it the other parent. Why would we do that? Is that fair?
The other parent.
The other parent.
The TV, the whatever it is,
social
influence.
Social media.
Yeah. The cell phone, the iPhone, and all that other kind of stuff.
Screens and keyboards.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's good statistics indicating that children have more interaction with those media than they do with their parents mm-hmm. on a weekly basis. And yeah. I think that the difference is startling. I researched that statistic for a book that I was writing. I have forgotten the actual amount of time, but most teenagers in America, on average, talk to their parents less than 30 minutes a week. I mm-hmm. do remember that. Yeah. And they are interfacing with various digital media probably 50 hours a week. Mm-hmm. That's probably a conservative estimate.
Yeah, I'd jump in and say, first of all, the name of the event is Raising Healthy Kids in the Digital Age. And mm-hmm. what we've discovered is exactly what John is saying, is that the doors have been thrown wide open with unfettered access to the internet through smartphones, through computers, through even through video games. A lot of those are interactive online. But you've got the world at your fingertips as a young person with no instruction. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say no censorship, but no instruction, no guidance, no discipline. And that, I think, is part of that other parenting. As you like to say, Trace, parents, if you don't raise your kids, somebody else will.
Right.
And that's what we're staring down the barrel of that weapon of digital technology being aimed at us, and we're doing the aiming.
Yeah, and with social media in particular, our kids are taking their cues rather than good mentors. They're taking their cues from other kids, and that's occupying a great deal of their time, and it's time that they could be spending, you know, learning something productive or doing something productive. But John, do you see this evening as being beneficial to only parents of kids who are struggling, or do you see it also a potential help to parents who might simply need some encouragement or some better tools to fight the good fight?
Well, I would hope that it would be beneficial across the board, and that parents of toddlers would come mm-hmm. proactively.
Sure.
Following up on Rich's comment of a moment ago, I think that a lot of parents today are just throwing up their arms in despair, feeling overwhelmed by their children's addictions to these various media, and especially to smartphones, mm-hmm. and for boys, video games, and just opting out and saying, well, things like rationalizations like, well, if I don't let him, he'll go to his friend's house. Mm-hmm. And while some of that may be true, I think it's important for parents to take a stand on issues.
Sure.
And I tell parents, look, it's better for you to take a stand, even though they know that their child is spending 3 hours a week at a friend's house interfacing with whatever media it is, video games, than to not take a stand and the child is still spending 3 hours a week. You know, I don't think you can control everything that your children do, but you can make your values clear. You can take a stand.
Yeah, and we can minimize the damage. They can never come back at 30 years old and say, Dad, Mom, why did you allow me to do this? Or why didn't you make me do that? Johnny, in your travels around the country, speaking in churches and whatnot, What grade would you give the average Christian parent as they bring up their kids today?
Probably the grade I would give the average parent is a D plus, and the average Christian parent a D plus plus, maybe a C minus. I don't see Christian parents doing, on average, really anything different than secular parents are doing, other than they pray before meals and they go to church.
Yeah. I think the statistics bear that out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that we've held the bar of expectations way too low as we raise our kids in today's world?
Expectations for who? Child or parent?
For our children.
Yeah, I think that there's a high bar for parents these days, especially for mothers.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the good mommy bar that women feel compelled to clear on a daily basis in full public view in order to verify that they too are good mommies according to the world standards.
Especially when the world makes them feel that if they're not out there in the public square working, is this an impossible task to really go out there and hold down a position in the workplace and then try to raise three or four kids, elementary school age kids at the same time? How can they possibly pull that off?
Well, I think that there are some mothers who have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, sure.
And I don't want to be implying criticism of women generally across the board talking about this with a broad brush, because there are a lot of women out there who are listening to this show who would say, well, I have to work.
Exactly.
I'm a single mother. I've got four kids. It's not my choice. But
I'm referring to the ones who don't have to work.
Yeah, I think we can all agree that it's not the most advantageous of situations. But there are women who seem to do a good job in spite of it.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Carson's mother did an excellent job in spite of it,
right,
for example. So,
the cheap cost, though.
The jury's still out on that. I don't know if we know about Dr. Carson, really. But
but I'd like to think I know about him.
That came at a tremendous cost to her.
I mean, it came as a tremendous cost.
Yeah, and I don't know that this generation of parents, and this is going to sound critical, is that interested in making those type of sacrifices today?
Well, I think the whole idea of making sacrifice for the country, for the betterment of society, has gone well by the wayside in America.
Yeah, rights and privileges without the responsibilities and obligations. But I think we've gone to this idea because of political correctness, I think, where we're trying to make everything a perfect world for the individual. And that comes at a cost to the corporate world. This is, I don't mean business. I mean society-wise, the masses. The masses suffer when we try to make each individual accommodated for their little idiosyncrasies or whatever the case may be.
Well, this was the influence of humanistic psychology, the elevation of the individual and individualism, which started with the advent of humanistic psychology in the 1950s with Abraham Maslow. Mm-hmm. And this is one of our culture's paradigms, is humanistic psychology. Yeah.
Self-realization.
With self-realization, high self-esteem, and a lot of other concepts, which I point out to my audiences are all anti-biblical.
Now, will you be elaborating on these things at the event, March 21st?
Well, I hope to be able to. Yeah. I mean, you know, 30 to 40 minutes, it's hard to get into a whole lot of stuff and plumb the depths of anything. But yeah, I mean, I hope to give people a lot to think about, if nothing else.
I wanted to jump in here real quick because I know one thing, John, you were mentioning a moment ago was the bar that that moms are feeling that they have to meet. But it's a bar that the world has set. We talked prior to the program about Colossians 2:8 and this admonition that we are not to let ourselves be taken captive by basically the hollow or I forget the exact wording, but
deceptive.
The hollow, deceptive, yes, philosophies that are of man's doing, of the world's doing, rather than of Christ. And I think part of what you want to express, as you've told us before, is this event is not going to provide a list of do's and don'ts. This is not going to be a checklist of if I do these 10 things,
right,
then I'm going to be a good parent. But our goal is to try to get people to think through the lens of a Christian worldview, to be able to discern right from wrong. Yeah. Alex is going to lay the foundation for how we know what true truth is.
Right.
And you're going to be, I hope, taking this down an even greater path to show us that we don't have a measuring stick of the world here. Here's what God asks of us. Here's what God sets before us. And I trust you're going to be teaching us as parents how best to discern ourselves, where we draw the lines here, what things we allow, what we don't, but even how better to relate to our kids and to train up our kids in the way they should go.
Yeah, I think Alex is going to give a big picture. He's going to talk about a Christian worldview and Christian apologetics and defending the faith. And what I'm going to do is come in and refine what Alex has said and apply it to the raising of children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And talk about the fact that in Scripture there is a clear set of instructions from God himself concerning how he wants his children to be raised, and that we really should be paying attention.
Yeah.
He is the creator. These are his children. We act as his proxies in the raising of children. And we ought to accept that Dr. So-and-so does not know best. God knows best.
Right.
And we ought to be following his instructions.
We're talking today with John Rosemond about raising healthy kids in the digital age. A special conference coming up Saturday, March 21st in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. This is Licensed to Parent, and we'll be right back. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org, helpmytroubledteen.org. Our kids' hearts, minds, and souls are being influenced by our decadent culture. And with today's smartphones putting access to the world at their fingertips, we're allowing digital technology to become our kids' other parent. Don't believe it? Well, do your kids spend more time with their devices or with you? Don't miss an evening that can change your family's lives forever. Raising Healthy Kids in the Digital Age, featuring parenting expert, author, and speaker John Roseman, cultural expert and American Family Radio host Alex McFarland, and founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Academy and host of the Licensed to Parent radio broadcast, Trace Embry. Together, they share their combined insights on raising healthy kids in the digital age. Saturday, March 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. at Toccoa Falls College. Learn more and get your tickets at LicensedToParent.org. That's LicensedToParent.org. And welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy near Atlanta, helping troubled teens in a year-long outdoor residential program. I'm Rich Rosel, and today we're talking with John Roseman about raising healthy kids in the digital age. Trace?
And I'm going to caution our listeners that we don't want to make this a legalistic idea of do's and don'ts. That's one of the biggest hurdles I have to overcome when dealing with parents of the kids here at Shepherd's Hill Academy is when we do our parenting classes, they want a list of do's and don'ts. And they're a little perplexed when I don't give them that. And there's a few things we'll say. There's a couple things of areas of steps 1, 2, and 3 and this or that or the other. But as a general rule, the idea is to we have to acquire a biblical worldview. This has to be in us. And when it comes to parenting, you talked about doctors. Have doctors and the government, by and large, been meddling in an area that family and the church should be better caring for?
Well, as society has weakened with the advent of multiculturalism and relativism and progressivism and individualism, people tend to turn to sources like the government to help mm-hmm. them out of – to solve their problems for them.
Yeah.
And individualism and relativism, humanistic psychology has made it – the influence of psychological thought, psychological theory, which most people don't understand, guys, is a worldview. And it's a worldview that stands in opposition – to a biblical worldview. Yeah. You wrap your head around a psychological worldview or a biblical worldview, and we've wrapped our heads around a psychological worldview mm-hmm. of child rearing and applied that child rearing over the last 50 years or so. And it's greatly increased the problems that parents are dealing with and the frustrations. And under those circumstances, people tend to want to turn to somebody who offers a solution,
mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing. They're turning to the government, which is playing right into the hands of people like Barack Obama, mm-hmm. Who want to increase government power over the individual.
Yeah. I think parents have come to believe to a great extent that you almost have to be have a doctorate degree in psychology to be a good parent today. Can you kind of do something with that myth?
Well, speaking as a psychologist, licensed by the state of North Carolina, licensed by the North Carolina Psychology Board, one of the things I know is that having a PhD doesn't mean you know what you're talking about. it may mean you know what you're talking about in physics. It may mean you know what you're talking about in organic chemistry, but it does not mean that you know what you're talking about when it comes to human beings. And this has been a great problem for America's parents. We stopped listening to our children's grandparents when it came to child rearing. Mm-hmm. These were the go-to people 60 years ago
right.
when parenting issues came up, and we began going to Dr. Spock and various books written by psychologists, humanistically influenced, behavior modification influenced, Freudian influenced. And one of the things, and this is something Christian parents need to know, is that all these people were atheists. Well, they can't be trusted.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian, you should not be trusting an atheist for good advice in any area your life.
It comes down to a man's opinion on a particular subject based on the evidence that he has gathered and filtered through over his years of study or research or experience.
It comes down to letting somebody who is coming from speaking from a completely different antithetical worldview guide your life.
Yeah.
And we should not be allowing atheists to guide our lives.
I agree. But it's also easy for Christian parents to think that they're doing better than they actually are, largely because they go to church with their kids and, you know, learn good things for an hour or two a week. That can be a little bit of a deception from the enemy as well. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, it's the reason I give, you know, the Christian parent a C minus as opposed to a D plus for the secular parent. And I, you know, I don't mean to be negative about this or cynical, but the fact of the matter is that as I travel the country, I'm one of the few Christian parenting people who also speaks a lot in secular settings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talk to a lot of secular parents, and I talk to a lot of parents who are believers, and they're not talking about different things. They're talking about the same things.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about the same problems.
Right.
They're describing the same parenting problems, the same problems with their children. And so I think, you know, and one of the challenges that I make to Christian audiences is this, that we, as Christian parents, we need to be willing to distinguish ourselves. We need to be willing to be regarded by the community as odd, weird, a little strange.
Thank you. Thank you. A million times. Thank you. That's the same thing I'm trying to get across to my parents that I deal with here at Shepherd's Hill. And I think that there's something to be said for the fact that they don't want that. They want to not feel the pressure that comes along with that.
Well, it's what goes back to what I was talking about earlier.
Right.
When parents come to me and go, I'm so concerned about my child and peer pressure.
Yeah.
And I say, well, you know, let's examine the peer pressure that you're submitting to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do we see so many kids climbing the pews, playing with their digital games during church and sometimes running up and down the aisles while the pastor is preaching his guts out without any parental intervention or concern? You speaking in churches, maybe you've seen that. Maybe by virtue of what you're speaking on, you don't see a lot of it. But I go to different churches. I see kids just kind of having their way with themselves during the middle of the service. And the parents look at you like, isn't he cute? And I'm thinking, that's not cute.
No. And the thing is that, and I'm going to say something that's going to inflame some of our listeners, but you know, the truth is not often a comfortable thing to hear.
We love you, folks.
And yeah, but you know, some of you are going to turn off the radio in a second. A lot of these kids have been diagnosed with various behavior disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have, my observations lead me to this conclusion, not about all parents of children of this sort, but of many, is that the diagnosis becomes an excuse for the parent not to discipline.
And
I was at an event, and it was obviously an adult event. I mean, it wasn't inappropriate for children.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an event that featured two country bands playing until midnight the other day. And there was this child who was completely out of control. Why he was there in the first place, I don't know. In the second place, he must have been 10 years old. And he was just in the middle of the dance floor, turning somersaults and writhing all over the floor. And I looked at one of the parents next to me, and she said, "Well, he's been diagnosed with something. His parents say they, you know, that he doesn't respond to normal discipline."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, how about this? How about just the discipline of getting him out of here?
Yeah,
you know,
but some abnormal discipline."
Yeah,
it's interesting to me. I was talking to a parent not long ago. And this particular parent, we were talking about one of the children having a smartphone and all the things that this child was getting into on the smartphone. And, you know, I'm asking, and why does the child therefore still have the smartphone? Yeah. And the parent was like, oh, well, I just don't know what to do. To me, it's very easy. You take the phone away.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
A lot of parents don't feel they can do that. Or, well, you know, they're the safety issues, .. Yeah. I can give you a list a mile long.
Mm-hmm. And I've shared this story before, too. I mean, we've all been in a Walmart or a grocery store, and we come around the corner, there's this kid raising holy heck, and he's pulling things off the shelf, and the mom looks up with that deer in the headlight look, and she says, I just can't do anything with him. It's like the elephant in the room. It's like the emperor's new clothes. We don't see the obvious. I mean, my dad had a real simple, you know, and I mentioned this before too, a real simple formula for parenting. See size of parent, see size of child, class dismissed. But we've complicated this thing into he's got this diagnosis or whatever, and therefore I don't have the right to step in and do what I need to do. But you know, I don't mean to sound cruel or crude, but if you can train a dog to roll over and do tricks, why can't you train your children to mind their manners?
Yeah, my dog's got ADHD, and
so do I.
I've still been able to train my dog. But yeah, you know, one of the things that I say to my audiences a lot, the audiences in churches, is that good parenting is an act of love for your neighbor. Mm-hmm. That you don't inflict an ill-behaved child on the community.
Right.
That you have a responsibility only to the child, but to the community to discipline your child properly.
That's a good way you put that.
But it goes beyond that. We don't want to inflict an ill-behaved adult.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we're not raising kids. We're raising future adults.
You're creating future
adults.
Amen
to that. Yeah. Train up the child in the way he should go.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do so many parents feel they need to keep their kids entertained every waking moment from cradle to college?
Well, because good parenting, this is part of the mommy bar. It's you know, the good mother makes sure her child is never bored. The good mother makes sure that her child is always doing something that's developmentally enriching. The good mother helps her child with his homework every night.
But what is that actually doing to their critical, constructive, and creative thinking capacities?
The child's?
Yes.
It's grandiose enabling, and it's not teaching the child how to stand on his own two feet and face the world steadfastly and accept that the world is full of slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Today's children are being raised to believe that their parents are there to solve all of their problems, and they're going to transfer this feeling to government and their employers when they grow up.
And it's working.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's working.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I hate to say it, but our time is up for today. But that last question of what does it lead to, we're going to be delving into that quite a bit more at our event at Toccoa Falls College coming up on March 21st, 5 p.m. Our guest today on the program, John Roseman, will be one of our featured speakers, along with Alex McFarland, who's going to be looking at how we define truth, how we find it, and how we defend it in our faith. The event is called Raising Healthy Kids in the Digital Age. And again, it's at Toccoa Falls College, located in North Georgia. We hope to see you there. Learn more and sign up at licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosel. Thanks for listening today, and join us again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.